Good morning, and welcome to Local Matters Health Matters, where we shine a light on key health and safety topics affecting the Upper Cumberland. I'm Dr. Emily Lee.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry. We're faculty at Tennessee Tech's Whitson Hester School of Nursing, and we're thrilled to be with you today.
As we head into summer, June marks National Safety Month, a time dedicated to raising awareness around preventing injuries and staying safe in everyday life. Whether at home, at work, or on the road, safety is something that affects all of us, and preparation can save lives.
Today, we are joined by Derek Woolbright, Public Information Director for Jackson County EMS. Derek is here to help us better understand the role EMS plays in our region of the Upper Cumberland, what National Safety Month means for our community, and maybe to clear up a few common myths about emergency services.
Derek, thank you for joining us on the show today.
Well, it's great to be here. I appreciate you guys having me.
Well, let's start. We want to know about your background. So Can you share a bit about your journey and what led you to a career in EMS?
Sure. So I always joke that I just woke up one day, found myself in this career. I'm not sure how I got into it. But the truth is I started when I was in high school, 15 years old, at the local fire department, volunteering at the Dotson Ranch Fire Department through their Explorer program. Really enjoyed that. Finished high school, started going to Tennessee Tech. And while I was going there, I started working part-time at Jackson County 911 as a 911 dispatcher.
Okay.
Realized I really enjoyed that. So
that's an interesting job.
Yeah, it was. It's probably my favorite job I've ever had, to be completely honest.
Yeah.
If it paid the same, I would probably still be doing
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I don't believe you.
Yeah. But did that part-time for about 6 months, did a couple semesters at Tennessee Tech, found myself skipping class to work at 911.
Because you loved it so much. Yeah.
Began working full-time there in 2010. Worked there full-time for a couple years while I went to EMT school. Still had no idea what I wanted to do with my life. Just went to EMT school to be able to run some medical calls at the fire department and thought, you know, I'm 18 years old, not doing anything else. I'm going to go to EMT school. Did that. Started working on an ambulance a little bit part-time in Jackson County. Found that I liked that. Ended up starting full-time in 2012 and went to paramedic school and been working in EMS full-time ever since.
Very good. So, you know, you say that like you took a roundabout, but to me, hearing that, background, you took a straight path.
Mm-hmm.
You knew what you wanted to do. You just tried this. That didn't work. Let's go here. But you did a straight path.
It was a pretty direct course. It just wasn't with that thought in mind.
I understand. Well, you were also 18.
Exactly.
Years old.
Exactly.
So.
Young, you're not sure. But
right.
Yeah.
So for those of the listeners out there that may not be familiar, Derek, can you tell us more about the Jackson County EMS and the services you provide in that county?
Sure. So Jackson County EMS, we run, we respond to about 2,200 calls a year.
Wow.
Both emergency and non-emergency.
Mm-hmm.
We have 5 ALS ambulances. We have...
What's an ALS ambulance?
Advanced Life Support.
Thank you.
And so our ambulances, our providers are able to do anything from the most basic, you know, providing oxygen to endotracheal intubation up to critical care skills like chest tubes and things of that nature. We have 2 crews that work days, 1 crew that works nights with 2 additional crews on call at nighttime, that respond to those 2,200 calls a year. On top of that, we do a lot of community outreach stuff, a lot of CPR outreach. We teach a ton of CPR in Jackson County. Fortunate to get to work alongside our Board of Education. They recently, over the last couple of years, have made that a big priority.
Good.
And
good.
We've been able to work with them and get a lot of kids taught CPR. So we've been really proud of that. And we try to be out in the community, just be seen, let people know a little bit about what we do, because we do enjoy just being involved in the community. And we only run 2,200 calls a year, which if you ask a lot of our crews, they would say that's plenty. And mm-hmm. we don't want people to be hurt or injured. But 2,200 calls in the grand scheme of things, not a large amount. So it does give us some time and opportunity to find other ways to benefit our community.
Yeah, we appreciate that. And then, so at the high schools, do they have to have those CPR classes? You said you had a relationship with the Board of Education.
So
there.
It's currently in the works to put it in writing, set it in stone, that
yeah.
hopefully everyone will have had it by the time they graduate high school.
Yes.
Currently, what we have been doing, though, is just teaching it to the freshman wellness classes.
Yeah.
So we're catching
okay.
everybody
yeah, yeah.
as they come through. But our goal, what we're working toward, hopefully in the upcoming school year, is to start it to where we're going to stagger it to where they'll have – most students will have had it twice by the time they graduate.
Now, the school nurse down there, is it still Linda?
She's at the middle school.
At the middle school. Yeah. Who's at the high school now?
Jennifer Scott. I think she's the director for the county and also
– So in conjunction then the board and they kind of help with those wellness classes. Very nice. So – Derek, what does it look like day-to-day as a public information director for Jackson County?
So my favorite part of my job is that I never know what I'm going to do from day to day.
I have no
normal days.
I like that.
And that's my favorite part. I still work 7 days on, 7 days off on an ambulance. So there's some days that I'm responding to calls all day long, and I just have to pick up the slack and what my other duties between calls. There's some days where I'm able to come off a truck or I'm not busy on a truck, and I deal with stuff like this all day. Right. But a normal day for me in the public information role is just kind of guiding. If there's anything that we need to get out, a lot of it is day-by-day based. What kind of incidents do we have? Mm. We need to do a press release on something. Is it something the public's got a lot of questions about? And if we don't have things like that, just pushing out CPR outreach, things that we offer, making sure that we're there in the public eye so that the public doesn't forget about us and they know that we're a resource they have for whatever they may need.
Do you have to worry about the AEDs in the area? Like, are there – I know you talked about CPR, but what about – are there any AEDs in the Jackson County?
Yeah, our school system, they all have – each school has at least one AED.
Okay.
Jackson County High School, I think, has two.
Mm-hmm.
Those are checked yearly from the EMA side of things, which I'm also a public information director for Jackson County Emergency Management.
Right.
And they check that
yearly. How many hats
yearly.
Does Derek have?
A lot.
Okay.
I would hate to try to count them up for you guys.
So what kind of responsibilities then do you handle? That sounds – so you're doing this, so public information.
I do the public information for – I'm the public information director. I have some other public information officers that work under me with me, do a great job. They take a lot off of me, but I oversee it for Jackson County EMS, Jackson County EMA, and Jackson County 911.
Mm.
I'm also the training director for Jackson County EMS and the field training officer. So I oversee the entire training program for Jackson County EMS, keeping up with training files, scheduling training, performing training, educating. I do a lot of that too. So those are my major hats I wear. Then I also still volunteer with the Dawson Branch Fire Department.
I'm very glad about living in Dawson's Branch.
Yeah. I'm the assistant chief out there. So I'm right at 20 years with the department.
And I thank
still
you
do
for that. For the
that.
Listeners, you guys hear me a lot. I live in Jackson County. So this is in my backyard.
Yeah,
so
we're
I
happy
appreciate
to serve.
It. Yes.
It sounds like you have like three full-time jobs to me.
It does sound like it.
It's a little bit – that's probably not inaccurate. I try not to view it that way because it makes me feel not as tired.
Oh, no, no.
But that's probably
Emily
not
and I
inaccurate.
Are the same way.
We appreciate what you do, though.
We do, really do.
Well, thank you, guys. That's kind of you to say.
Well, how does your team then collaborate with other emergency agencies like in the region? So I know Jackson County is not a silo by itself. So how do you guys – for safety for the community, how do you guys – I know out by me, we have the falls.
Right, yeah.
And I know that's a big headache.
Yeah, fortunately, not as big a headache as it once was.
Exactly.
Shout out to the state of Tennessee
for
getting some
for
things
Cummins
in
falls,
place
yes.
there to get mm-hmm. that a lot safer. But we have the Upper Cumberland. We are blessed. You go different places in the state of Tennessee, and not that they have poor working relationships with the counties that are around, but our region – the Upper Cumberland region is just blessed with a lot of emergency managers, a lot of EMS directors that work together. And it's seamlessly. You make one phone call in the Upper Cumberland. If you have an event or a disaster, whatever you've got going on, you can make one phone call and you'll have more help than you could ever possibly need coming to you.
Nice.
From all different counties
around
us. All 13 counties in the Upper Cumberland region are just amazing to work with. A lot of great people, great providers. From their employees all the way up to their managers, they're excellent. We do some, joint trainings and stuff, mm-hmm. especially with the regional health office on the EMS
mm-hmm.
side.
Mm-hmm.
They're really good at reaching out. The resources they have and offering them, they're very good at setting up those joint trainings. We're blessed in the Upper Cumberland to just have lots of emergency managers, a lot of emergency medical providers that want to work together.
Yeah.
And that means more than what most people realize.
Mm-hmm. I agree. 'Cause usually if you do see an emergency or a safety issue. For instance, someone falls off the, you know, falls at Burgess Falls or falls at Cummins Falls. You do see that in the newspaper. You hear it that there's many local agencies come together to help rescue, help make sure that the community's safe, that the people that are there are safe. You know, it, hopefully it's not a bad situation, but you do hear that often, and I don't hear that other places. You're right. In the Upper Cumberland, I do think that that's a good collaboration.
I think most people would be in agreement that if they were being completely honest, that if you look statewide, no one compares to the way the Upper Cumberland works together.
That's true.
And being in a rural area like this and people living out from cities and, you know, so – I might live closer to Jackson County than I would to Overton County or this or that. So it's nice to know as a citizen in the communities that you have such collaboration among other communities and counties.
It makes, especially when you're talking about you don't want it to happen, but those large-scale disasters, no county, from the largest county in the Upper Cumberland to the smallest, no county has the manpower to handle that.
Yes.
When you're talking about multi-operational periods, you're talking about a multi-day incident. No one has the manpower to physically handle that, and without that interoperability, you're in trouble.
Right.
And so that there's lots of times in the Upper Cumberland where that truly just shines through.
It does, and especially with our terrain, you know, because we have – you go to Clay County, we have the lakes. You go to, you know, Jackson County, we have a lot of caves, I think of, and a lot of rocky areas. So absolutely, that makes – as a listener and as a resident myself – it makes me feel safer.
Something that I'm just constantly blown away by, even after 15 years in this business, if you have a multi-agency incident, egos do not get in the way in the Upper Cumberland.
You can have
directors, chiefs coming from other agencies, and when they walk into your EOC or your command post, if you need the floor swept, they're going to find a broom.
That's awesome.
And that's that plays a huge role in that.
I appreciate you saying that, Derek. Well, we will be getting back to the second segment. Welcome back to Local Matters, Health Matters. I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry from Tennessee Tech.
And I'm Dr. Emily Lee. We're here with Derek Woolbright of Jackson County EMS discussing National Safety Month and how we can stay safe and informed in the Upper Cumberland. So, Derek, June is National Safety Month, which we mentioned in the beginning. Why is this month such an important observance for professionals like yourself in EMS?
It really gives us an opportunity, maybe an excuse, for lack of a better term, to draw people's attention to so many things that can prevent injuries. We see so many injuries, especially in our area, of things that can be prevented, whether it be heat-related injuries, to where people should have just hydrated or maybe known their limits a little better.
Yeah.
Or you talk about motorcycle, UTV, ATV crashes where people weren't wearing helmets. They were riding somewhere that they shouldn't have been riding to start with. Alcohol involvement. Same thing with boating. I'm really good friends with the assistant EMA director in Clay County, and he likes, you know, Chris would pound the table on this. Alcohol and being on the lake do not mix. No matter how much we associate them as a culture, they do not mix.
Yes.
And they see that so regularly in Clay County on Dalhalla every year. So it gives us an opportunity to kind of address those things and other everyday things such as car seats, you know, the importance of those, the importance of making sure those are properly installed. It gives us an entire month to be able to draw attention to those things that ultimately does save lives, that do prevent injuries.
That you think are just common knowledge that everybody should know, but maybe sometimes it's just that we don't think about it.
Yeah, don't make it a priority.
Yeah.
Maybe do know, but don't think. You do think that's not going to happen to me.
Yeah.
It's going to happen to that person over there, but it's not going to happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when it does inevitably happen to you.
It is.
That's true.
My son's, you know, Emily has a son as well, a teenage son, and they always think that. Young men think it's not going to happen to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So rural areas like ours in the Upper Cumberland, we face some unique challenges being in a rural area. What are some of the safety concerns or risk? We've mentioned some of them that people in our region should be more aware of, especially as summer kicks off, because we're going to be outdoors more.
Right. One of the first things that come to mind for me is one that we really don't like to discuss, but being in a rural area, an unfortunate lack of resources.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you have a significant trauma, you're 30, 45 minutes even by ground from a level one trauma center.
Yes.
And, you know, that's unfortunate in and of itself.
So for the listeners, what is a level one trauma? And what is Cookeville Regional?
Cookeville Regional, I believe, is a level three. A level one trauma center, that's going to be like your Vanderbilt University Medical Center. That's going to be your hospitals that are not only equipped to do invasive surgery on traumatic injuries, but they're also teaching hospitals.
Yes.
To be a level one trauma center, they have to be a teaching hospital of some sort. So, you know, those are going to be your large cities, Nashville, Knoxville, and you're going to be more than likely transported by air to one of those from the Upper Cumberland area.
And that is due to the lack of resources in our area and terrain.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Where we live.
And that's the terrain in itself is an issue as well. We have things as simple as just curvy roads. And we have curvy roads. Motorcyclists love to ride them, but they're also dangerous.
They do.
You know, that prevents another problem. And you allured earlier to the caves.
Yes. We have a lot of caves.
We have a lot of caves in Jackson County, a lot of waterways in the Upper Cumberland overall. We have a lot of waterways. And those are great. They're beautiful. They're fun, but they're also dangerous.
Mm-hmm. They are dangerous. Just especially with summer, too, I think of swimming. You talked about boating and alcohol, but even swimming in some of these swimming holes that are not owned by the state.
What we see when it comes to swimming holes is not only the alcohol, but people who can't swim or aren't very good swimmers, they don't understand that there's a difference in a swimming pool and a natural waterway.
Good point.
They don't understand that there's a current to most of those. So when they're used to being able to walk out in a 3 feet deep swimming pool, they can't do that in a natural waterway. One, because it has a undertow or a current to it. And two, because just because you're standing in 3 feet of water, if it's a natural swimming hole, doesn't mean your next step is 3 feet of water.
Exactly.
And those are things that we see regularly that people don't understand when they're not good swimmers, particularly.
Or just not aware of the area that they're in. Like you said, that they're used to a swimming pool.
Right.
They may think that it's – I'm thinking of waterfalls. We have a lot of waterfalls, beautiful, in our Upper Cumberland area, too. People jumping off of waterfalls, jumping off of cliffs at the lake and thinking the water's deep enough. Right. The water may not be deep enough, and just lots of accidents.
The water may have even been deep enough last week, but it's not this week.
Oh, good point.
It fluctuates.
Good point, Derek. Yes.
You don't know.
Yes. And, you know, and if it is regulated by the state, they do have people that will close the areas off. But if it's a natural area that anybody in the public can go up to, that's going to be a big difference. Yeah. Heat related. Do you see a lot of that in the summer?
We see quite a bit. And a lot of those are, honestly, just from people not knowing their limits or not hydrating properly before. You know, especially we have a lot of agriculture in this area. Mm-hmm. So you've got a lot of farmers that are out working and they're not taking time to stop and hydrate. They're not taking time to eat. They're not eating before they start. And then before they know it, they've just overdone it. That's probably one of the most common we see is heat-related injuries that are secondary to agriculture.
Mm-hmm. What about bee stings? Wasp and bee allergic reactions, I should say.
Allergic reactions, that's a fairly common one that we think of. Mm-hmm. It's not necessarily as common to respond to as what you might think from the way that it is pushed in public education.
Okay.
But it certainly is an issue. Fortunately, in today's day and time, most people that have an allergy, a known allergy, have an EpiPen. We've seen that save lives many, many times. But it certainly is something that we deal with.
Yeah. I had an incident with the first responders, 10 years ago now?
Mm-hmm.
Alpha Gal.
Oh,
didn't know. And
yeah.
Dawson's Branch came out, and I didn't have an EpiPen.
She didn't have an EpiPen.
I didn't realize what I was allergic to.
You're not allergic to it till you are, right?
Exactly.
Right.
So
that's
you
how it
said
works.
That. Yeah, that is how it works. And I was very grateful that I could call 911 and get emergency services to come to my house.
Mm-hmm.
First responders came first, volunteers.
In the Dawson Ranch area, the Dotson Branch folks, I live there myself,
yes,
are very blessed. Our fire department has a large first responder program, lots of EMTs and paramedics that are on the fire department.
Yes.
So most of the time when you call an ambulance, you're going to get probably at least a paramedic and an EMT showing up on your front door 10 to 15 minutes before the EMS unit.
And it was very nice. I felt taken care of, so
good.
I appreciate
that.
She's here with us today.
That's the goal.
So that's the goal.
And I do have an EpiPen.
Yep, she's got one now.
Even better.
Yeah. Even better. I did not at the time.
So we know summer brings a lot more outdoor activities, travel, and sometimes emergencies that we've talked about. So are there any simple steps that you could tell families to try to help them stay safe? I know you talked about farmers hydrating. I think of, like, take your jug of water with you in the tractor. What else would you recommend?
So, you know, situations vary, but we were talking about the waterways. If you're going to be in water, wear a life jacket.
Oh, thank you. Yes.
It really isn't that hard.
It's not.
As someone who spends a lot of time on the lake, I am a good swimmer, but you still will not catch me on the lake without a life jacket on.
Yeah.
And it's because I've seen the aftermath of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really as simple as that. That drastically lowers your chances of drowning. And the hydration, that wear your helmet. If you're on a motorcycle, if you're on a UTV, an ATV, wear your helmet, wear your restraints, how they're meant to be worn, and don't mix alcohol with those things.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Great advice.
Yeah, all those ATVs, they have the seat belts. I'm like, wear your seat belt.
Yes, and wear it properly.
Yes.
All right, we're going to stop.
You're listening to Local Matters, Health Matters. I'm Dr. Emily Lee.
And I'm Dr. Jennifer Mabry. We're continuing our conversation this morning with Derek Woolbright from Jackson County EMS, diving into some common misconceptions about safety and emergency services. This is one of my favorite segments, Derek, so... hopefully you'll bear with me on these.
Bust some myths.
That's right. So we're going to break them down. The first one that I hear often is you should only call 911 if it's life or death.
So that's probably true.
Okay.
911's for emergencies only.
Yes. Okay.
And that doesn't mean that you don't need an ambulance. It doesn't mean that you don't need the sheriff's department to respond to you. But if it is not a life or death emergency, you should call their non-emergency phone number.
Okay. And listed, what is that number?
So the non-emergency phone number to Jackson County EMS is 931-268-0111. Super easy to remember.
Oh, that is. 268-0111. Zero
or as we affectionately refer to it as 0111.
Ooh, I like that better. 0111.
It does roll off the tongue.
It does roll. Okay, for all those listeners out there. But that's only Jackson County.
Only Jackson County.
Yes.
Do other counties have a non-emergency number for listeners in other counties?
Every county, whether it be Sheriff's Department, EMS, EMA, they all have non-emergency numbers. Okay. You can find those listed anywhere. In Jackson County, we have a 911 center that dispatches for every discipline of emergency services.
Oh, okay.
So when you call one of those non-emergency numbers, it's ringing into that dispatch center. You're talking to the exact same people that you would be talking if you call 911. However, you're not tying up that 911 line in the event that someone has an emergency.
Okay.
Because while there are plenty to handle normal 911 traffic, there is a limit.
Yeah.
And thankfully, in the 911 system, there's a redundancy. So if you hit a limit, you're just going to roll to another county who's going to take your emergency and send it to us.
Yeah.
But it still overloads those lines. So if it's not a life or death emergency, don't dial 911 just because it's the number you can remember.
Perfect. I love that. Okay. Don't tie up the line. And yes, that was a truth. Okay. Second one. Another one we hear often. Emergency management system, or EMS, it's just an ambulance ride to the hospital.
We're just ambulance drivers.
You're just a driver.
Every paramedic or EMT in the world loves to be called an ambulance
exactly.
driver.
Exactly, yeah.
I love it. It's my favorite.
Is it?
My friends.
I love this.
My friends call me an ambulance driver all the time.
Oh.
They tell me that I'm their favorite ambulance driver.
And that
because they know how much I love it.
Yes.
I will correct my friends and family on that faster than anything in the world. Not even because it bothers me that bad, but it's just like, guys, let's not sound uneducated.
We're EMTs, we're paramedics, we're critical care paramedics.
We don't just give people rides to the hospital.
All right.
There's so much invasive care that can be performed in the back of an ambulance and that's going on. And a lot of the general public just don't know. They do not know.
That's why I hear that.
Yeah.
It's just an ambulance ride.
So it's definitely not. There's lots of care provided in the back of an ambulance.
So give me the difference then between an EMT training and paramedic training.
about a year and a half.
Okay. But, yeah, that's a lot.
So the state of Tennessee, the way it is currently, you have EMT basic school, okay. which is about 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You become licensed as an EMT basic. Then you have about another 6 months for your advanced EMT.
Okay.
Once you're licensed as an advanced EMT, you can go on to paramedic school.
So you have to do one before the other.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
There is some legislation that they're working on to maybe have a bridge from EMT basic to paramedic.
Mm-hmm.
That's in the works and probably going to come down the pike pretty quickly, but currently that's not how it is.
Okay.
And then after paramedic, it's about 12 to 13 months once you complete that and get licensed. After you're a licensed paramedic for 3 years, you can go to critical care school.
Okay.
Which is what you have. Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. It's an additional 4 or 5 month program.
Yeah. But you have to have 3 years of experience.
You have to have, 3 years of experience.
And is that writing in the end?
Yeah, that's
like
that's
actually hands on direct patient.
That's 3 years of working experience.
All right.
And then critical care is just a little more focused on critical care topics, mm-hmm. ventilators, chest tubes, that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Some more invasive,
And we have that in Jackson County.
Yes.
Perfect. Are you the only critical care paramedic?
No, we currently have 4 critical care paramedics.
Very nice. So somebody will cover each week, each shift.
We have. There is at least one critical care paramedic on every shift.
That's comforting to know. All right. So you're not just an ambulance rider. Driver.
No, absolutely
or a rider.
Not.
Sounds like.
Regardless of what my friends say.
Yep.
Oh, I understand, friends.
Some people confuse EMS and fire services. Can you explain the difference in their roles and how they sometimes might work together?
So we're all one big family. We just do different things.
Mm-hmm.
EMS, typically they're going to do the transport role, a little more of the patient care.
Mm-hmm.
Fire department, most of the time, most of your fire department guys are at least EMRs or EMTs, so they're able to do some basic care. There's fire medics out there that are able to do the exact same things that are going on in the back
fire
of an
ambulance. Fire medics?
Yes.
I did not know about that. Mm-hmm. Did you know about mm-hmm. this? What's an EMR?
So an EMR is an emergency medical responder. It's
okay.
what was several years ago formerly known as just a first responder.
Oh.
It's a basic, so it's a certificate
okay.
that you can get. You have to go through the same licensure process, but mm-hmm. as far as the verbiage from the state of Tennessee, it's just a certificate, not
okay.
a license.
Didn't know.
You have to have continuing education to keep it up. It's similar to an EMT basic, but you cannot work on an ambulance with that certification.
Okay.
That's typically what you're going to see in your communities at the volunteer fire level. A lot of your first responders, if they don't work EMS and are doing that on their off time, a lot of them are EMRs. And that can actually be taught at the local level. We teach EMR classes to our fire department.
Okay.
It's about a 4-month course in Jackson County.
Didn't know that.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what a fire medic is.
Mm-mm.
So lots of, especially full-time fire departments, have, firefighters that are also paramedics.
Oh,
yeah.
That's really common. City of Cookeville.
That's common.
Okay.
Is it typically larger cities that have those, or
it varies from city to city. It's typically you have your paid departments in larger cities, but and probably have them more commonly. But it's not an uncommon thing.
Okay.
All right. So we got one more, and this is that we hear a lot in rural communities like ours. So if I can drive myself with chest pain to the ER that's 30 minutes away, I shouldn't call 911. How would you respond to that?
That's a really common question, obviously. and it hits home for me living in the Dotson Branch area, because if you live in the Dotson Branch area, you know that Cookeville Regional Medical Center is about as far away from you as an ambulance is most days.
Yes.
However, just because you can get to the hospital in a quicker amount of time doesn't make it a quicker process. Mm. If you are having a heart attack and EMS responds to you and they can run an EKG,
right?
They can go ahead and get some aspirin on board. Mm-hmm. They can give you nitro. They can do some other things to alleviate that pain, to help that circulation. If they identify that you're having a heart attack and can go ahead and let the hospital know, in the long run, that's going to get you to the cath lab to open that blockage in a much faster amount of time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the answer to that would be no.
Okay. So that is a myth.
Yeah.
It is better to call 911 if you yourself are having chest pain, because you'll get treatment on the spot, and then they can call ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And you bypass the waiting room.
That's correct. Well,
right?
So that's another myth that we hear a lot.
Oh, you bypass the waiting room if you call an ambulance.
Yeah, we hear that one a lot, and that's not necessarily the case.
Okay. Tell us the truth.
Maybe there was a time that that was the case,
mm-hmm.
pre-COVID.
Mm.
Post-COVID,
everything's
you
changed.
Will go to triage or the lobby. If you don't have an acute illness or an acute emergency, you will go to the lobby coming in with EMS just the same as you did if you drive in.
Did not know this. So that goes back to our first myth of call 911 if it's life or death.
That's what it's for.
That's mm-hmm. what it's for.
That's good to know. So outside of emergency calls, we've talked a lot about emergencies. How is Jackson County EMS involved in the community? You've mentioned several things already. What would you say your top three things are in the community?
I would say number one is probably our CPR outreach.
Okay.
Yeah.
Two is just, it's a broad term, but community involvement.
Mm-hmm.
We're, you know, standing by. Our Jackson County High School, Middle School does not have a full-time athletic trainer.
Mm.
So we do our best to stand by at as many athletic events as we can.
I think it was that way when my son was there. He graduated in 2015.
I didn't think about that.
No, I think I remember that because he played football.
That's a gap that we try to bridge.
Mm. Thank you for that.
And they fortunately, they are able to, especially with football, they're able to work with Tier 1 and have a trainer on site at least for their games. But that's a big bridge that we try to gap. And it kills multiple birds with one stone, for lack of a better term, because it allows us to be there for the safety of the student athletes, but it also allows us to be involved in those student athletes and those students' lives, and they kind of see what we do, and it may make them show interest in what we do one day down the road. And Lord knows we need more employees in this line of work.
Yes, you do. Yeah. Absolutely, healthcare, especially post COVID.
Yes, absolutely.
That, at least to get that one-on-one, face-to-face time with the community, which, you know, for, what, 2 years, almost 3 years there, we did not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's very important. So for those people in our community that want to be more prepared, whether it's, you know, getting a first aid kit in their home, putting smoke detectors in their home, taking CPR like you guys offer, or just making an emergency plan, where do you think they should start? Is there a website? Is there some kind of...
So the first place for most of that I would recommend starting, that's just kind of a catch-all, you'll be able to find majority of what you need for any of that, is TEMA.gov.
Okay.
TEMA.gov.
T-E-M-A. Tennessee Emergency Management Agency.gov.
Okay.
They have a lot of resources on there for things like preparedness kits, a lot of information on there for being prepared for weather and those types of events. That's a really good starting point. For Jackson County specifically, our social media, you can find us on Facebook, Jackson County EMS-TN.
Okay.
We post a lot of informational stuff on there, do a lot of outreach that way.
I follow you guys.
You also, you know, feel free to send us a message if you have a question about something.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be more than happy to try to answer that for you. You can find our HyperReach link. We try to post that every so often, and I think it's pinned to the top of the page as well. And that is what our 911 system utilizes to communicate with the public. So you can sign up to get weather alerts. You can sign up to get, you know, any kind of public safety alert that Jackson County 911 deems that needs to go out. You can get that via text message, phone call, email, however your preference is on that. We use the HyperReach system for that.
HyperReach.
Yes.
All right. Well, Derek, we'd like to thank you for being with us today and sharing very important insights into safety awareness and emergency readiness. As we observe National Safety Month, we encourage our listeners to take small steps toward a safer home, safer travel, and a safer community. Remember, awareness and preparation can save lives.